This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
There are a lot of people who have been sending me screenshots over the first five games like, is he on a bender? Because he looks a little haggard when he's sitting there on the bench. And I'm like, I'm fine. I'm fine with how he looks. They're winning all these games now.
Atkinson's
Wednesday road, won a bunch of regular season games with JP.
He's a road warrior. What are you talking about?
So is Atkinson the difference? Is Atkinson just the difference for this team, or is it too early?
Yeah,
like, when does the honeymoon... It's a negative connotation. Don't take it negatively. When does the honeymoon end? Like, when do we take off the gloves and go, okay, we really got to get into the nitty-gritty with this?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. I thought it was really, really nice for Niang to come on with us and talk about how they really were dead set on maintaining some of those defensive fundamentals from before. He wasn't just going to come on and say, Atkinson's great. The last coach was bad. Atkinson. Bickerstaff. Atkinson. You know, he wasn't going to do that. he talked about how, you know, they have their defensive identity. And that was one question I had going into the season. Were they going to relent on some of that defensive stuff because they're going to be so focused on getting out in transition, so focused on threes? And when you do that stuff, the defense does suffer almost in every instance. In this case, it hasn't so far. They have been able to maintain that.
I'm so surprised. Why has it been that way? Like, defense always has to pay a fiddler for when you're going on, when you go so strongly on offense in an NBA game, on an NBA team, I should say. Why is that?
Well, it's just teams lose it's not, look, every NFL coach, right? They want the defense to be fast, but they want them to hit, but they want them to tackle, and they can't come in, a new coach can't come in and just automatically change what their point of view is and then have them keep everything. But that's kind of what's happened so far. It's only five games. I get that. And, you know, the Knicks are scrambling around and you look at their schedule, well, Toronto, and, you know, the Lakers have now lost two in a row, and LeBron, you know, wasn't exactly the most active we've ever seen him. But it doesn't matter.
Like, Detroit added some vets. They might be a little bit better than we thought they were going to be.
What I'm saying is the Cavs have not lost their focus. They've been dialed in. They are. You could clearly see there was a clear delineation. The Cavs yesterday were treating that game as a game that mattered. And I think it caught the Lakers off guard. I don't think Anthony Davis was ready for that kind of physicality, for that kind of effort. I mean, Dean Wade in the starting lineup is playing like it's the NBA Finals. And that's not easy for every team to kind of roll into Cleveland on a random, you know, Wednesday night where the talk is about LeBron and his son, and then boom, the Cavs are hitting you in the mouth.
I really thought they would be, I got to tell you, I'm a little bit surprised here. I really thought they would, with Kenny Atkinson, I thought they'd pull back a little bit on the regular season stuff, and maybe they still will. Maybe they're like, hey, we got to start strong, and then we'll kind of spread it out a little bit, and then we'll speed things up as the postseason approaches. We'll start to kick in February and things like that. Maybe it will be that way. I'm not sure. But I really thought that they would kind of pull back the reins here and be like, all right, Donovan, we're going to use you a little bit less than what we've used you in the past. We want to get Evan Mobley involved here, there, and everywhere, but we don't want to go too crazy with it. You know, the Dean Wade factor in it. I didn't account for that. You're right about that. And you know what? You might be right. Like, Dean Wade, I think, is a better natural player than what Max Strus is. So you might be right about the whole Max Strus scenario where it's like, hey, now that Dean Wade's there, Max Strus is hurt. When Max Strus comes back, maybe they could use him a little bit better within the offense, and he's not as much of a chucker as he was last year. That's serious. But I got to tell you, I am still really surprised at the effort. And, yeah, I know it's their job to provide effort, but we know there's definitely games in the NBA where guys roll the basketball out, and that's it, and they're going to have that type of night, and it's quote-unquote scheduled loss. I am surprised at the pace they're playing with and the effort that they've given so far in these basketball games. Maybe it's a proven point for Kenny Atkinson. I'm not sure. But I thought we might be a little bit more slow playing than we were over the last couple of years.
Ken, 134 last night, 136 against Washington, 136 against Toronto. Like, you get far enough along. Like, yeah, small sample size, but it's pretty darn telling. And Yang, I think, gave us a window into that. I mean, he basically said the phone calls that were made right away, Atkinson had a clear, intentional mindset for each player and how differently they needed to play. And I think what's going to get lost, like, people are just going to now say Bickerstaff was terrible at everything. Like, they did go 17-1 last year. And
it seems that some of the calls we have on hold want to do that.
Yeah, Bickerstaff did good things. I had problems with him, as I outlined many times over the last 3 or 4 years, like, things I didn't like. But overall, I think Bickerstaff was a really good coach for a young Cavs team. And now it was time to pass the torch. And I think Atkinson has channeled that stuff that they needed to hear. And it's not just Mobley being more aggressive. And I don't even think Mobley has been as aggressive as I expect him to be by the end of the season. Like, when he's really starting to hit where he needs to be. I think Darius, and obviously being healthy, I think if Bickerstaff were listening to the callers right now, he's very argumentative. I think Bickerstaff would be like, well, I didn't have a healthy Dean Wade. I didn't have Jerome. I didn't have a healthy Darius Garland last year. I didn't have a Mobley in year four who was ready to pounce. And you would hear a lot of excuses probably, but I think Atkinson has figured out a way for these guys to all be able to meet their goals, which is not easy to do. There's only so much ball to go around. And I think you got to give credit to Donovan Mitchell for kind of taking that foot off the accelerator and letting the other guys get in their rhythm, because Donovan knows that come playoff time and down the stretch when he needs to, he knows what he can do. But he needs to have these other guys on the same playing field by the time we get there, if that makes any sense.
No, I think it makes a lot of sense.
It can't just be Donovan leading the way all year.
Yeah,
he knows these other guys have to come up a level.
Well, what will we see that now that he's signed an extension, it's like, all right, you're here. I know it's the NBA and everything's a year-by-year deal, right? But what now if he has the extension? Does it become a more, hey, I can't just throw everything on my back. Like, now we're going to learn during the regular season about what it takes. And honestly, Donovan might be doing that as well. I mean, he's not Shang Tsung out there. Like, he's still a young man, and he still has gone through the wars, and he still at times has been, I have to admit, a disappointment in the postseason in the past. But at times. But we know if he's going to get to where they need to go, he's going to need help. And that help comes and gets learned through last year's experience and the year before, but really through the regular season as well. Because now that you have a new head coach, I do feel that there's a little bit of a different system here. I do. You are feeling things out with your head coach where other teams are feeling it out on the floor. I think it's easier to feel it out with a new head coach than it is for the other teams on the floor. Like, I saw what Carl Anthony Towns did the other night with the Knicks. And it's like, hey, man, like, you're eventually, they're going to be a good team, but they got to get some things figured out. Like, I might end up taking them very seriously here by the time February comes around, but they got to get some things figured out. So, yeah, I would like to sprint out and get that going, because as of right now, you know, I've talked tough before the season started, and I thought, yeah, I don't think the same core four is going to be there. I didn't anticipate they'd not just start 5-0, and I know what their schedule is. I didn't anticipate them playing this well while they went 5-0. And if they continue to do this, I can't make an argument. Because where am I going to find the negatives? Where am I going to find the negatives of the people that I need to trade to make such moves? Now, maybe there's a grandfather deal for a wing that we got, or a godfather deal for a wing that we just don't even know about yet, because it's October, not February. But until then, I'm like, I can't rip on Darius Garland. I know that last night wasn't the greatest night, but it was a wonky game. I can't rip on, obviously, I'm not going to rip on Donovan Mitchell. I certainly can't rip on Jared Allen and his play last night. I mean, this was all good stuff. This was all good stuff. 216-474-0092. Josh Bria, got to go quick, but go ahead.
Yeah, real quick to Lima's point, I think Kenny does deserve a lot of credit, but it is on Donovan. It is on Donovan because he easily could have pressed the red button and been like, I want these guys out of here. But him showing faith and love in Darius, him showing faith and love in Jared Allen, and you're seeing the pace. Like, you're not seeing the Cavs roll the ball up anymore and wait for the big guys to get set because they're afraid of their transitional defense if they miss a long three. Kenny's actually giving these guys, like, hey, if we're going to miss a shot, get down there, big guys, and run and get in position. And you're seeing Evan is like a gazelle out there. He's actually fast. I didn't know he was that fast. He's a freak athlete. This is the guy that we were hoping to see. And I know people say, oh, Darius had a wonky game. He didn't have a wonky game. Yeah, he didn't shoot it well, but he's taking the good shots. He's getting guys set up. He had a double-double, and he's still stealing the ball. That's why he's getting in foul trouble, because you're seeing a more active Darius Garland on defense, letting these guys know, hey, guess what? I'm not the same Darius Garland you know. I put on some weight. And back to the Knicks game, people keep talking about, oh, yeah, he had a great game. It wasn't just great. He did that against Mikal Bridges, one of the best on-ball defenders in the league. He dropped 15 on his you-know-what in the fourth quarter. Let's go, Cavs, baby!
All right,
we
Josh.
We got Jameis. We got Cavs. Let's go!
It's a very good time right now, I got to tell you. Josh, thank you very much for the call. It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.